you've got your Bibles and you'd like to follow, the reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you got any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far away from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God. Thanks be to the Lord.
It has been absolutely fantastic being here since Friday, and God has been so good to us. And I love the tent. I just love what the guys have organised and what they've done. The disadvantage, of course, is we've got no Sunday school. We've got no facilities for that. So I promise I'm not going to be long this morning. I told you God was good. So I'm going to try and keep it nice and short. But as we were setting up, as we were making the plans a few weeks ago for the big God tent, there's 14 different events have gone on over the weekend in the tent here, and we've still got 3-4 more events to come. We're praying for good weather for the bouncy castles this afternoon. I haven't been on a bouncy castle for ages, so we need some good weather this afternoon for that. But there's been 14 events, but one of them yesterday afternoon was a youth event. And we were sitting around brainstorming and chatting about what we might do. Peter was our youth worker at the time. He's now my assistant minister. Was saying, well, on the Saturday afternoon, we want to have a youth cafe. And we're going to have a roast a Christian. Some Christians on the stage. And we can throw at them, grill a Christian. The healthy option, grill a Christian. We're going to grill a Christian. Ask them difficult questions. But we need some good people to answer the questions. And I said, well, I don't mind doing it. I can make myself free. And I can't remember which one of my staff it was, whether it was Pete or Gemma or Jane, or I can't remember who it was, but they looked at me and they said, "You do realize this is a youth event. Don't you think you're getting a bit old for this kind of thing?" Thank you. I'll tell you what, I'm getting a lot more sympathy off you than I did off my wife. I felt betrayed. I felt let down. You know, even my wife joined in at some point with the hilarity, just to push the knife in and twist it a bit. We've got some good counsellors at our church. I'm going to have to be going, I think, for a few weeks now, because I've been told I'm no longer young enough to do youth work. Betrayed by my own staff. Thinking about wives who betray us. I don't know if you've ever heard the story. If you know that when you get to heaven, men, I don't know if you know, when we get to heaven, we have to queue up at the gate, and there's different queues for different sorts of men. And apparently St. Peter was there one day, and he came out to look at the queues and see what was going on, and there was this one queue, and above the aisle where the men were coming through, there's a huge sign that said, "Henpecked husbands." And the line went right out of sight and down the stairs. And then just to the left of that was a sign that said non-henpecked husbands. And it had one man in it. I guess it was next to the row that said five sins or less. But this guy is there by himself at the front. And Peter walks over to him and says, I'm so glad you're in this queue. Why are you here? And he said, because my wife told me to stand here. It's a betrayed by your own wife. We know, don't we, about Peter's betrayal of Jesus. And we all know the story of Good Friday. That Jesus had predicted that Peter was going to betray him three times before the cock crowed. And we all know, when we think about Peter's betrayal of Jesus, we all know that story. But I don't know if actually, if you know this, but Peter betrayed Jesus twice. There was the three denials where he denied that he knew Jesus. I never knew this man. No, I'm not one of his disciples. I know nothing about him. But there's a second betrayal as well. See, right at the beginning of the gospel story, we read about it in Luke 5, Jesus calls Peter. And he says, come and follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And we read in the Bible that the disciples left their boats, and they left their nets, and they left everything immediately. And they followed Jesus. And for 3 years, they followed Jesus. They saw him teaching in the first year. They followed him around. They heard him teaching, and they saw him performing miracles. And through that second year, as we understand the history and as we understand the chronology, they did it, and Jesus watched them and counseled them. And the third year, he sent them out, and so they were being trained. And at the end of the third year, of course, there's the horrible events of the cross and of the arrest of Jesus and the trial and the crucifixion and the burial of Jesus. And this is where Peter's second denial comes. You see, he'd said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. He'd left his nets, he'd left the boat, he'd left his old life behind, and he'd come to follow Jesus. But now things have gone wrong, and things aren't going according to plan. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Jesus is in the tomb. He's resurrected at this point, but Peter doesn't quite understand it, and things seem to be going wrong. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. 3 years earlier, he said, I'll leave everything and follow you. And now he said, you know what? I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to the familiar, to the comfortable, to the thing I've done all my life, to the trade that I've been brought up in. I'm going to go back to what I know best. I'm going to leave the call of Jesus to be a fisher of men. And I'm going to go back to fishing. You know, all of us as individuals at different times betray the Lord. You know, that day that we first gave our life to Jesus, I've been talking this weekend, 21st of July 1985, for me, 7:45, thereabouts, at St Andrew's Church in Chorleywood in North London, I went forward and said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be his follower. I understand that I need Jesus in my life, that I've done things wrong and he died. I understand that, and I want to follow Jesus. And I remember praying, I will follow you for the rest of my life. And from time to time, I haven't. From time to time, I've followed my way, not Jesus' way. From time to time, I've turned my back on that commitment. And I've blown it. And you know, as individuals and as churches, we all do that from time to time. And I want to talk just very briefly to two groups of folk. I want to talk, first of all, to individuals. And I just wonder if there's folk here in this tent this morning who at some time in their life have said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Jesus, I want to be your servant and your disciple. And you made that commitment and you left behind an old life. You walked away from the way you were living life and you said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. But for some reason, whatever it is, and things happen in our lives, and I understand this, but for whatever reason, you've not been walking in that commitment. You've not been following that commitment that you made once. In a way, you said, I'm going back to my old life. There were things in my old life that were easier. There were things in my old life that were comfortable. There were things in my old life that I was just happier with. And you've turned your back on that commitment to follow him with everything you are. And the second group of folk I want to talk to is us as churches. You know, I've been delighted with this week and this weekend. I am thrilled with what's gone on here. you know, I had the vision and I got, put a team together and I said, you deal with it. And they've just organized everything. People keep saying, thank you for all your hard work. I've done nothing. The team have been fantastic and I am thrilled with what they've done. But I'm not just thrilled with the tent this weekend and the 14 events and the people who've been in here and all that's still going to happen. You know, I'm delighted with the way that everyone's pulled together. But the way that other churches have pitched in and made their resources available and their people available. I'm thrilled with the way that over the last few weeks the church has got out of the building and onto the streets. People have been handing out flyers and they've been handing out magazines, and we've done this thing called Healing on the Street where we've gone out and prayed for sick folk on the street. And you know, we've got this Panath's favourite hymns. We've had a survey. People have been going into pubs. Can you imagine this? Baptists have been going into pubs to go and find out what people's favourite hymns are. We've been going into coffee shops and into shops. I'm just thrilled with the way that the church has got out of the building and said, we're going to do what we can this weekend to tell people about Jesus. But you know, there's a real danger that we can say next weekend now, you know what, I'm going back to my old life. It's been wonderful to have a mission. It's been wonderful to have this week of events. But I'm going back to the old way. I'm going to go back to what's comfortable. I'm going to go back to church, and we're going to go back next week, and we're going to sing our hymns, and we're going to close the doors, and we're just going to do things inside the church. And I just want to challenge us this morning, whether we're those individuals who've turned our back on Jesus at some point, or whether we're as churches, we're tempted to go back to just doing church that's nice and comfortable. Let's not do that. Let's make a fresh commitment today as individuals and as churches to follow Jesus wherever he takes us. There's this wonderful, wonderful story in John 21, and tonight I'm going to touch on it again just for a few minutes as we close down the tent. That Peter had let Jesus down really badly, and Jesus takes him and draws him to one side and walks off along the beach with him and says, Peter, I'm giving you a second chance. I want you to be that rock that I said you were going to be. I want you to fish for men. I want you to look after and feed my sheep. And at every moment, Jesus stands there and says, don't go back to your old life. Don't go back to the old way of doing things. Don't go back to the old way of doing church. Let's go forward together. As individuals, let's commit ourselves afresh to following Jesus. And where maybe there's areas where we've turned our back on him, let's commit ourselves afresh to following Jesus. But I want to challenge you as churches together. Let's go forward from this point to work together with Jesus that Panath might come to know the Lord. We could go back to our churches. We could say, I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to the old life. Or we can say from this point on, let's commit ourselves to getting out of our buildings together to reach Panath for Christ. This tent is too small for what God wants to do in this town. One event is too short for what God wants to do in this town. But no one church can do what God wants to do in this town. I've had a real revelation this weekend, and after 25 years in ministry, I should have spotted it sooner. But we talk about churches working together. That's wrong. We should talk about the church working as one to do the work of God. It doesn't matter whether we're Anglicans or Baptists or Methodists or Pentecostals or Brethren or Salvation Army or whatever we are. There is one church. We need to commit ourselves to getting out of our buildings together as Christians, not as people from different denominations, but as Christians, and say, together, Jesus, we'll feed your sheep, we'll fish for men, we'll do the work of the kingdom. And when we stand together, I believe God's got great things for this town. I'm so thrilled you started with Psalm 133. When brothers and sisters dwell together, God will pour out blessing, even life evermore. Will you go back to your churches? Will you go back to your pastors and your ministers and your presbyteries and your church meetings and say, we don't want to do things separately anymore. We want to work together for the kingdom. We want to call ourselves Christians, not Baptists. We want to call ourselves Christians, not Anglicans. We want to call ourselves Christians, not Methodists. And the Christians of Panath together hear that call of Jesus to go and become fishers of men. Simon and I met on Thursday for coffee, and we've already committed ourselves as ministers. Simon's been ordained in September. He's going to be pastor of Cosmeston Church. We've already committed ourselves as two churches to seeking ways to covenant together, that we won't do stuff separately that we can do together. Will you join us? Or can we join you? I don't care how we talk about it. Can we join you? Can I become a Salvation Army member or a Methodist or an Anglican or whatever it needs to be that we can work together, that Christ is lifted up in this place? Would you stand with me if you're willing to pray with me? Father, on my own behalf and on behalf of Tabernacle as senior pastor there, I want to repent of the times that we've drifted back into traditions and old ways of doing things and of not fulfilling the calling to be fishers of men. And I want to repent of the times that we've sought to do things by ourselves, when we've sought to do things for our own advantage and our own gain, and it was wrong. And I want to commit myself to working with all the Christians in this town afresh, that your kingdom might be built. And I just pray, Father, that as we stand here, for those whose hearts are to do this, that you'd give us grace, that you'd pour down your Spirit and enable us to work together better for your glory. Lord, I don't want to see just my own church filled. I want to see every church in this town revived and your fire fall. And Lord, if I can do something to help brothers and sisters in other places achieve that, I pray you give me grace to do it. I pray for every one of us whose hearts are that way inclined, you'd give us the power we need to work together. Lord, I commit myself from this point on to following you afresh, to working with your church, and to doing your will, that all people in this place might come to hear the name of Jesus. In his name. Amen. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and evermore. Amen. Sharing the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.